May the Lord help us to commence our week evening service by singing hymn number 697. Hymn number 697, Tertian Zundel, 664. O thou lovely, loving Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth and ever, to adore thy matchless name. Give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. From all carking care relieve us. Fill us with thy boundless grace. Hymn number 697, Tertian Zundel, 664.
Thank you. May the Lord help us now in reading from his holy word. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us, after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and may he in mercy help and teach us to pray. O thou ever gracious, long suffering, and eternal Lord God, help us, we pray thee, to venture near to the footstool of thy mercy, For, O Lord, we are poor and needy sinners, and we are in need of mercy. O Lord, our iniquities, though our iniquities do testify against us, we pray thee that thou wilt do for us, even more abundantly than we can ask or even think. And yet, O Lord, we are not deserving. Lord, what can we expect in the light of what we are and our sins? O Lord, have mercy upon us. Do in thy mercy pardon, blot out all our transgressions. And oh, that thou wouldst indeed look upon thine only begotten Son, and look upon his precious blood, shed so freely for sinners, and accept us, we beseech thee, in the Beloved. So, O Lord, we come once more, just as we are, and O thou knowest, Lord, we have to sometimes say with the dear apostle, when I would do good, evil is present with me, and that which I would not, that I do, and that which we would in our right mind do, we do not. O Lord, have mercy and forgive, and grant unto us by thy Spirit that enabling, that we may live, that we may live in thy fear, that we may indeed be enabled to obey thy commands and to do that which is pleasing unto thee. O, remember us then, and now thou hast brought us again into the house of God, and we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to come down. O, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. For, O Lord, without thee, what will our service be? Oh, in thy mercy do come. Make thyself known unto us, even in the breaking of the bread of life, as has been sought already, oh Lord Jesus. And thou knowest how each have come, those secret petitions that have gone up unto thee. O Lord, may it please thee to send those answers of peace, if it can please thee. And thus, Lord, do come into our midst and make one in the midst. And may we be found, Lord, as the poet expressed it, when to worship saints assemble. Lord, we cannot claim to be saints, but we hope there is that hope in thy mercy for us poor sinners. Let the song to Jesus flow. So may it be, O Lord, we do pray. And remember this cause of truth, we beseech thee. Lord, thou knowest all things that have taken place in recent years. And, O Lord, we mourn as in many of our little hills of Zion. We mourn because we are so few. And, Lord, we need thee to preserve us, Lord, from the roaring of the great adversary. But, oh, grant, Lord, those that grace and faith, grant a grain of living faith that we may lay hold of thy gracious promises. O Lord, how gracious thy promises are, that thou hast promised that even where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there thou wilt be in the midst. So Lord, do come and grant thy blessing. But we do pray thou remember the cause here, the church here, the congregation. Oh, do Lord go before them in all the things, and may it please thee to make thyself manifest as the saviour of sinners, that there may be those favoured with tokens of thy love, that there may be those, Lord, who shall know what that drawing power is, and that they may have to cry with the one in the song, "Draw me, we will run after thee." Oh, do grant thy blessing, and may there be, Lord, that which shall abide. Lord, may there be those things, even the handfuls of purpose, Lord, and thou only canst command that thy servant shall let fall these handfuls of purpose. But may it be so, and that those, and may there be the gleaning, the gleaners, who shall be favoured to gather up those blessings, those handfuls of purpose, or even the crumb from the master's table. But may they, Lord, and may we each be favoured to take these things and beat them home, take them home and beat them out, we pray. Oh Lord, we have much to confess, but Lord, may thy word abide, and grant thy blessing upon it, and that there may be those signs following, and Lord, that there might yet be those added unto the church, and that there may be those, Lord, who shall be constrained to turn in, to seek salvation. Lord, is anything too hard for thee? How many thousands live in this town? We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst constrain. Yea, but Lord, we pray, as thou didst put it in thy word, that we pray that thou wilt compel, that there may be, by thy Spirit, those who shall be compelled to flee from the wrath to come, and shall have to turn in and seek the Saviour. O Lord Jesus, hear then our poor cries, and do, Lord, be with the friends here. Remember, Lord, our those who take the desk, our brother at the desk tonight, and one, Lord, in the pew. Lord, remember them both in their pathways. Oh Lord, do grant thy supporting hand, upholding mercy, and do, Lord, grant them encouragements, we pray thee. And that there may yet be, Lord, that which shall redound unto thine honour and glory in this house of God. And Lord, we pray for our brother at the desk in his labours also on the walls of Zion. May he be favoured, Lord, with those seals to his ministry and souls for his hire. And Lord, do bless thy word through him. And Lord, remember each who seek the welfare of thy cause, here and elsewhere. O dear Lord, grant that exercise of prayer. Lord, might it please thee that thou wilt put it into the hearts of one and another, so to plead for thy blessing, for thine appearing, and that there might be, O Lord, those agreed, and that, Lord, it shall bring forth in thine own time those encouragements and answers, and that, Lord, thy name may be honoured and glorified. Lord, look upon us then in all our trembling before thee, and oh, may we be given, each one of us, that spirit of prayer, to join, as the poet says, my soul shall pray for Zion still, while life and breath remain, there my best friends, my kindred, dwell, there God, my Saviour, reigns. Lord, remember each in their pathway in life, those in advanced years, Lord, we pray, thou remember them and help them, and Lord, in the increasing weakness and infirmity, oh, do grant that they may find that underneath are thine everlasting arms, and oh, Lord, help them and grant those tokens, Lord, the renewing of blessings, Lord, and foretastes, O Lord, if it please thee, of that which is to come. Lord, remember those in the midst of the path with many responsibilities. O Lord, thou knowest how they so need thee, we each need thee. O grant that grace, Lord, to cast all our care upon thee. We do pray thee. And Lord, remember our brother at this time in his recent operation, and he is now walking in. Lord, do help him, do grant thy favour and thy blessing upon that which has been done, and that that healing may be granted, we pray thee. And Lord, remember all in whatever a path of affliction it is, for thou knowest, Lord, these things. Oh, that more grace may be granted, more submission to thy gracious will, and that, Lord, there may be approving of thy word in the various ways that thou hast spoken, but may there be that which shall follow from the path of affliction, for the soul's eternal good, and for the honour and glory of thy holy name. Lord, do grant thy sustaining, healing mercies, if it can please thee. And Lord, then we think also of younger friends, and where there are those, and Lord, there are those who come on the Lord's Day here, the little ones, the children. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that thou wilt remember them, that, Lord, thou wilt take them in thine arms, that thou wouldst draw them close to thee, and impart on their heart whilst young that good thing toward thee, the Lord God of Israel, that they may indeed begin to seek thee, earnestly, to seek thee, Lord, in times of need. Lord, do preserve and keep them in this very awful day, in which our lot is cast, and those things that are set before them and in some instances imposed upon them. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt help them to look up unto thee. And Lord, preserve them from the effects of the evil. Lord, we plead thine own prayer, Lord Jesus. Thou didst pray that thou didst not pray that they should be taken out of the world, but that thou wouldest keep them from the evil. Lord, we do pray thou'lt keep the dear children and young people from the evil. Lord, how deep it runs. Have mercy upon them. And remember us each, because, Lord, we each have a sinful heart, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Lord, preserve and keep us day by day. So, Lord, do look upon us. Have mercy upon us. And, Lord, remember thy Zion everywhere. And, may there yet be those further encouragements. We thank thee, Lord, for those things that we hear of. And that the evidence that thou hast not utterly forsaken us. Help us to praise thee, and Lord, help us to plead that thou wilt yet grant those further encouragements and tokens for good. Lord, remember then all whom we would and should pray for. Lord, thou knowest. Some in those difficulties, in providence perhaps, and sometimes how these things are bound up with the needs of the soul. Oh, that thou, Lord, wouldst work, and that thou wouldst bring precious souls to thy dear feet, to wait only upon God, that they may be enabled to say, for mine expectation is from him. Do bless the hymns this evening. Lord, do grant thy blessing and help now to one who must venture with thy word. O Lord, do come, I pray thee. Oh, if it can please thee, and grant thy gracious help, and that thou wilt take of thy word and the things of Jesus and make them known to us and bless us. Lord, then come, we beseech thee. Come over the mountains. Keep us in our right place. Hold us up, and if need be, hold us down. But Lord, may all be done for thy honour and for thy glory. Lord, then do come, make up in giving where I fail in asking, and pardon our every sin as we desire to ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Lord, help us in further singing hymn number 289. Hymn number 289, to the tune St. Polycarp, 405. Hymn number 289, thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Through this wide wilderness I roam, far distant from my blissful home. Lord, let thy presence be my stay, and guard me in this dangerous way. Hymn number 289 to the tune St. Polycarp, 405.
in much need, great need of the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit. I venture this evening to direct your thoughts and attention to the words which you will find in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and part of verse 1 and part of verse 2. These words from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It is especially the first clause in verse 2, which I found came upon my spirit at the close of our prayer meeting at home last evening. Well, I will read the whole of these two verses. They are very well known, but I will just read them through. Verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, dear friends, there is so much truth here in these two verses, but may the Lord, I so feel to need his help. And just a thought upon the opening clause of the first verse. How that word wherefore gathers up the relating in the previous chapter of all those who had walked by faith through this wilderness here below. From the early times in the book of Genesis through the history of the Lord's people and to a description in a more general way of those who suffered much in their pathway for the cause of God. Now wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about. Well, dear friends, I believe you might be able to say, each of us, perhaps at least, that there are some who have gone before us. And we were aware, whilst they lived and they walked, some walked with us in some measure, and we knew a little of what they believed and what they suffered too, and how they were brought through so many things. I've been reminded in the hymn that you have just sung, thinking on these things in those who have gone before us. But I remember very well, at least in measure, the time that my late dear father first preached in my hearing at our home chapel at Tenterden, back in whenever it was, 1964, 5 or 6. And on the first time I heard him on the Lord's Day. And at that time his own father was at the desk. And I have never forgotten how my dear grandfather gave out the hymn, I think for the closing hymn, as he had heard his son preach, and I was the grandson, nothing of any consequence, sitting in the pew. But I remember that hymn, "Thus far, my God has led me on." And in later years, I know my dear father used to say that it is summed up, the first line and the last, "Thus far, my God has led me on, that Jesus may be all in all." Now, friends, if the Lord has indeed led us a little, then are we not found in the way that is described in the text this evening? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh, if we have a little hope that thus far my God has led me on. And oh, friends, how we need the Lord to grant that witness by the Spirit. But if he has led us thus far, is there not a way that he has brought us? And there is the way that we are in. And there is this way that stretches before us. For how long? In time we know not. And that is known alone to God. And what the way will yet mean to us, we know not. But, dear friends, is there one thing that we do know about this way? Oh, if the Lord has brought us through that straight gate, and we are in the narrow way, what is it that leadeth unto life? Eternal life, heaven, the race that is set before us. Oh, dear friends, how little I have to say for myself do I really think upon that eternal destination. Oh, how little it seems to feature in one's daily path and thoughts. But if it is the Lord who has begun the work within, dear friends, he will, I believe, he will from time to time give his dear people in his own sovereign way those glimpses of the end of their journey. Or if not a glimpse as such, he will give those desires to be found at last with Christ. With Christ, which is far better. Oh, dear friends, are we then looking toward our journey's end? We do not know. Time is passing swiftly. Our years have passed by with some of us, and with all of us at the same rate, but there are those who are further on in life's pathway than others. And I remember when I was much younger, thinking toward the year 2000, and thinking that back in those days when I was probably maybe only still in my teens or early 20s, but certainly I thought, well, that's such a long way away. And when the year 2000 comes, I will reach the age of 46. It seemed a long way away, and I was but a youth. But now that is 24 years behind. Oh, friends, how we are hastening on. And we cannot hold back time. But oh friends, on which path are we? Has the Lord, has he put us in that right way? That's a beautiful word in Psalm 107. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation, the race that is set before us. Well, here the apostle is directed to use this expression, to call it the race. And there are one or two places where he refers in the epistles to this figure. And I'm thinking at the moment of where he speaks of thinking that he has not yet attained. I will just try and find that word in the epistle to the Philippians, and how he says there, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there he speaks of pressing toward the mark, and that is surely what is done and what it is to be in a race. There is a finishing post, and there is that desire and that purpose to reach that finishing post as quickly as possible. Well, oh friends, how one has to mourn and say there is sometimes that spirit within, and how close it comes to that which Lot's wife was left to. She looked back. She looked back. Oh, friends. I know there are the remembrances that the Lord has said we shall have, but in the spirit of it. Oh, friends, like the children of Israel in the wilderness, they looked back and they desired to be back where they had been. And they longed for those things that they had there. In Egypt, oh how solemn, friends, but do we not find in our wretched fallen nature, there are times when we have the same spirit, or unless the Lord in mercy tempers it and turns our eyes in the right direction, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, dear friends, this is really the secret, is it not, of the life of a true child of God. It is in this. It is so simply expressed. But dear friends, oh, what a blessing, what security is there. For in Jesus and in him alone is our help. He alone is our help. We shall fall. We shall make shipwreck, to use another figure of faith, unless we are helped to continue looking unto Jesus. And how the dear Apostle Peter proved that so quickly, didn't he? in walking upon the water and soon finding himself looking around at the waves and the billows, and he began to sink and cries out, save me. Oh, and how the Lord Jesus was watching over him and caught him and brought him into the ship, looking unto Jesus. Friends, by left to ourselves, how quickly we may find and do find that our eyes are beginning to drift elsewhere. When we come into difficulties, we may begin to look first for creature help instead of taking it to the Lord, and wonder why we don't get answers or relief to our troubles, and prove how the hymn writer was right. Long we either slight or doubt him, till when all the means we've tried prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry, looking unto Jesus. Now friends, I found, as I said, these words came last evening, and it was most particularly the author. Looking unto Jesus, the author. The author and finisher of our faith. The author, the margin renders the beginner. But I have found my thoughts dwelling upon this a little. And friends, how important and vital a truth is here stated. And well might we have to consider our own case. Oh friends, as the Lord may cause us to look within and to consider, is the Lord Jesus truly the author of my faith? And friends, how we may tremble as to whether this is indeed the case. Now I put it like this, but we have a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? But there is here a blessed truth. If the Lord does indeed, and he will from time to time so lead us that we shall see, yes, we shall see a little more, perhaps a little more clearly, that it was indeed the Lord Jesus who sought us out. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, if Jesus comes seeking your lost soul, you will indeed desire to hold on to him. You will not want to let him go. You will want him to be with you always. Well, the author. How much truth is bound up in these things. The author. Faith is a gift of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came upon this earth and walked this earth and suffered in the sinner's place and laid down his life, Dear friends, he wrought out all those blessed gifts. In so doing, he wrought out those gifts for his dear people, that there might be that bestowing of these gifts. And so he indeed is the author of living faith. An author is one who claims the ownership, the copyright, whatever description it might be, of a certain work. And the author lays claim that that is his work or her work. The author. And dear friends, so much more the Lord Jesus lays claim to his work, and he is the one who is to be acknowledged and to be recognised and to be thanked and to be honoured. And my thoughts went to the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians, the second chapter. And friends, it's very intense and it's very, very sacred language, and I tremble even to read it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now friends, here is a blessed revelation of the labour of this author. And it is in his love, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now friends, he is indeed the author of a living faith. And what a gift he bestows. What a gift. When we think of the authors upon the earth, there are those systems for some things whereby a payment must be made to the author or the copyright owner before their work can be used, replicated, or in other ways used by others. But dear friends, the gift of living faith to hell deserving sinners is entirely free. Entirely free. Oh, the love of Christ to his dear people. And he grants them this faith, that they might live by faith, that they may become one of this great a cloud of witnesses, witnessing to the honour and the glory of the giver of this precious faith. Oh friends, how little do we understand. But I think of the lines one of the poets wrote, speaking of faith, and I cannot get it all, but it comes in like this: the language of his dying breath. See how she, that is faith, see how she holds it fast. The author, oh friends, he bestows this great gift upon the poor wretched sinners who are full of unbelief, but when left in nature's state, have no desire to look to Jesus. have no desire, but the Lord imparts this principle within the tender fear of the Lord. He quickens the soul into life, and that soul that begins then to look to Jesus. Yes. Oh, friends, yes, what a figure it is, and a truth it is, that ye must be born again. And when we think of little children, when they are born, they look to them, their mother, principally. They want to cling to her, especially those little ones, so little. And there is that safety there. Well, a living soul, a newborn, a child of God, will look to Jesus. Yes, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he begins, gives this precious gift. Now, there is then this truth, this, and I was thinking, I was going to say relationship, not really wanting to use that word. But there is that union between the Lord Jesus and his people. We do not feel it or are conscious of it all the time. But it is a union. It is that eternal union that when the Lord makes known his love to those whom he has foreknown before even the foundation of the world, whom he did foreknow, all those precious souls, and he makes himself known to them in time, and he begins that work, and he imparts that living faith that they may look to him in return, that they may desire to follow him, to love him, to do what is pleasing to him, and to give to him the glory. Now, you see, friends, I found this. I thought, well, in the clause just before, let us run with patience. And what a commodity patience is. Some seem to possess patience naturally more than others. But I found myself considering this. If the Lord should indeed convey more to us of himself as the author of our faith, we shall find in looking unto Jesus, we shall find that patience will be given. It will be given because our whole desire and affection and dependence is upon him. And we shall find that that patience will be given. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He has done it all and he will do it all. And friends, the time in that sense will be a secondary matter. But we are creatures of time. We live in time. And yet we have an eternal God. And if he has imparted that living faith, it is one aspect of that eternal life. And as creatures of time, we have so limited understanding. Yes, oh, the Lord Jesus, he spoke, didn't he, a number of times. My sheep, hear my voice. And I just turn to that chapter, John chapter 10, I believe. And what does the Lord Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There is safety, there is security. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author. The author. Friends, real religion doesn't begin in self, and it doesn't begin in nature, doesn't begin in the world, doesn't begin in our parentage, naturally speaking. No. It begins with the love of God in Christ. It is He who is the author of a living faith. And we so need Him to continue those supplies. Yes. Well, last evening I tried to speak upon the words in Luke's Gospel, and this was what brought me to these words, really. I was trying to speak for a little at the prayer meeting on those words of the apostles to their dear Master, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Well, perhaps it may be just a point that I mention here. What did the Lord say to them after they had asked him that? And I felt there was, it seemed to shine more clearly than I've seen it before. He said to them in answer, and I just turned to it that I might have the word right. As soon as they had asked him, or they had begged of him, Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea. So really, surely the Lord Jesus was causing them to realize and understand. It's not in that sense the quantity, the amount of faith. But we may feel naturally, yes, our faith is so small. But it is the gift of God. And he says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now friends, he is the author of it. And he imparts that gift to his dear people. And if he imparts that gift, it will be sufficient. It will be sufficient. And when we think of how the Lord dealt with Peter too, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He didn't say to Peter, I prayed for thee that you will have a lot more faith as your journey goes on and your trials become deeper. He didn't say that. He said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Fail not. Is that where you're tempted? The Lord knows how his dear people are tempted, that their faith will fail, and they will faith less prove and give up all. But he says, I pray for thee, that thy faith fail not. I'm the author of it, poor soul, he says to dear Peter. I am the author of it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, what a comprehensive word it is. And a finisher. And what a prospect. Oh, if the Lord has begun, then he will also be the finisher of this aspect, faith. Because if we are indeed his, he will bring us to himself at last. There is that word in the Revelation that says this, and they shall see his face. They shall see his face. And dear friends, in sight, the faith will no more be needed. Faith will no more be needed then. And now, oh friends, and now we see through a glass darkly. And how dark that glass is sometimes. We cannot seem to discern anything. But dear friends, he is the giver, the author. And however poor and feeble the sight may be, he is the author if he has given it. And he will be the finisher too, when there will be no more looking through a glass darkly. It will no more be, as the margin says there, I believe, a riddle. And friends, there is teaching, even in the margin sometimes. It will be no more. At times it may be to your heart, I know it is to mine. If there's anything real, it seems to be such a riddle at times. Cannot lay things straight. But, dear friends, while the Lord doesn't promise us to understand everything clearly all the journey through, no, he doesn't promise us that. Indeed, he says this in one place, that word in the prophecy, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. These things will I do unto them. Well, who are the blind? Those who have not sight. Or feel they have no sight and cannot seem to discern. But I will bring them. I will bring them by a way that they knew not. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Oh, friends, he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He hath said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, how much then there is his word. Oh, and there is nothing to compare, but how we need this grace, how we need this faith to continue to look unto him. Looking unto Jesus. Well, the dear godly king of old, he was given that. For we have no might against this great company that cometh out against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Oh, may it be so. May we be favoured with that same enabling looking unto Jesus. Amen.
May the Lord help us to conclude by singing hymn number 263 to the tune Jonathan 356. Hymn number 263. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. He knows how deep their groanings are, and what their secret sighs declare, and for their comfort has expressed that all such mourning souls are blessed. Hymn number 263 to the tune Jonathan 356.
O Lord, in thy mercy, pardon and forgive all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss. But, O Lord, bless thy word, that alone will do us good. And, O Lord, O grant those tokens. Show me a token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above. Hear then, Lord, and be gracious, we pray, and take us each now to our homes in peace and safety. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.